Welcome to the Expat Cast. This is the podcast where expats share their stories about fitting in, standing out, and every mishap on the journey to finding home abroad. And this is a special series of the Expat Cast called Terre Talks, or Terre Talks. I'm Nicole, and I can't pronounce my R's in any language. I'm originally from the US, immigrated to Germany when I was about 25, and now I'm living in Paraguay temporarily. I got pretty bummed that no one knows anything about this amazing country, so I'm here to fix it.
And I'm Zoe. I'm also originally from the US. I'm Nicole's childhood best friend. I lived abroad for a few years, but I eventually settled back in Philadelphia in the United States. And I've spent about a month in Paraguay over two visits. So by most people's standards, that makes me an expert.
If you want more about Terre itself to understand what this is named after, listen to the series announcement from August 2023. But today we are sipping Terre and talking about the following aspect of life in Paraguay. What is it, Zoe?
It's transit.
Yeah, we love transit.
We really actually very much do love transit. It's one of my favorite topics. I really like city planning, public transit. I'm a big fan of my local public transit, which is a controversial statement. Go SEPTA.
Well, speaking of your public transit, I wanted to start off with a question for you.
Yeah.
If you were driving or biking down a road, not like Broad Street, a more like neighborhood road.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you saw a crate just like sitting in the middle of the road. What would you think is happening? Or you can also imagine tree branch.
I would think that it fell and nobody has picked it up.
Okay, I am asking because this is a thing that happens actually a lot in Paraguay. The first time it happened, I think I had similar thoughts. I was like, oh, this tree branch fell. And with the crate, I think I just thought it blew over or it got kicked over from the side of the road.
What kind of crate are we talking about?
What are they called? Milk crates?
Yeah, milk crates. A lot of people use them as baskets on their bike. I have one on my bike.
Yeah. And here in Paraguay, they're used for a lot of things, but primarily for fruits. And it's really common that people sit on the side of the road or in the middle of the road on like a median and sell different fruits out of their crates. Like when you're at a red light, you can just like, they'll walk over you and you buy a mango or whatever. So those kind of crates are everywhere. That kind of crate sitting in the middle of the road to me is like, oh, one of the fruit people left it and it ended up there. Turns out all of those items are put very intentionally in those locations because there are so many sinkholes in streets. Sometimes what happens, especially after the rain, is even if it's not a bad rain, that hole gets worse. And so to signal to drivers like, hey, watch out, there's a hole here. People will put like a tree branch, sometimes even vertically, but I've also seen just like laying horizontally around the perimeter, or they'll stack these like wooden crates as a visual signal like, hey, watch out.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's like really community oriented. And they're super helpful because sometimes if you don't notice these holes, you're in them before you notice it.
When I picture people in Philadelphia putting a strange item in the street on purpose, it is because they're marking that as their parking spot on the street. It's usually after it snows, so you shovel out your car and then you've done the work for that parking spot and you're like, I better get this parking spot when I get back. So you put things like lawn chairs or trash cans or things in the parking spot. Now, sometimes people will move those things out and park there, but you better watch out. Yeah, it's kind of the opposite. Whereas like in Paraguay, it's all about being nice, being neighborly, being community oriented. And in Philadelphia, we'd put things in the street to be like, this is mine. This piece of public property is mine.
There's so much culture in something as simple as something in the middle of the road. Let's start with describing the streets here.
I would say that the streets in Asunción are varied. They have a lot of potholes. They are very congested. Yeah, they're not particularly well taken care of streets.
What's funny is the more I'm here, the more I'm like, wow, they work on the streets more than you would think, given how they look. I should back up and say normal, bigger roads in the city are normal, I would say, similar to the US, which for people from Europe who have never been to the US, they might think that that means nice, evenly paved streets, but that is not true. America generally has a lot of potholes.
And it can vary depending on the state. different states have different budgets, or different municipalities have different budgets that they put into the streets. So sometimes you can even see that difference at a state line if you're on a highway.
By and large, the main roads, like getting from the airport or driving into the city, they're paved. They're not always perfect, but they're a normal range of road acceptability, I would say. The neighborhood streets are where things are really a toss-up. Sometimes they're also paved. Sometimes they are just dirt roads with the cobblestones, but people will patch those roads with concrete, but it's just one little corner, one little section.
Well, that happened on your street the last day you lived there.
Yeah.
They came and fixed the street.
Yeah. So I lived like just off of a T intersection. Also, I lived on a hill. There would be new potholes or sinkholes all the time. And when you watched people drive down my street, it was so funny. It was like watching drivers in the snow, which is actually not a funny experience. It's a terrifying one. But like, it was a much more controlled version of that. So like, the cars are not driving in a straight line down. They're like swerving left and right, usually quite slowly. So it's not very dangerous. You drive where you can drive, and the other cars on the street kind of accommodate because y'all need to get down the single path around all of the holes. So I lived at the base, like the T intersection was at the bottom of the hill. That T part was just a giant ditch. And literally the day before we were moving out of that neighborhood, all of a sudden it had been patched with concrete. I want to check up on it in like a couple months and see how it is, because I've seen with other areas where they do that, it's kind of a temporary fix. Like, it doesn't stay smoothly paved, but it certainly helps.
The quality of the streets, other than the cobblestone situation, did not surprise me as an American, especially an American living in Philadelphia, which is a city of a lot of potholes.
One thing that did surprise me and still surprises me is the speed bump situation. Although these cobblestone streets and all of the potholes means you basically can't drive very fast, they have so many speed bumps and they're hidden. So I think like maybe technically formally they're built and painted and there's a sign, but it's very rare to see a speed bump with all of those elements. Typically the paint is totally faded because the streets are so bumpy anyway. It's not visually clear. The sign is long gone, so you'll just be driving. And even if you're only going, let's say, 25 miles an hour, you'll feel it when you hit that bump. You need to be going like 10 miles an hour. So it's really difficult with driving, like especially now moving to a new neighborhood. It's funny. It's like part of settling in here is learning where the speed bumps are.
Other people seem to just like have it all memorized.
Yeah.
Where all the speed bumps are.
And the potholes too. Sometimes I'll be driving on the right-hand side of the road and I'll be seeing all of a sudden a car coming towards me on my side of the road. And I'm like, are they trying to hit me? Am I in danger? And then all of a sudden I realize they know there's a pothole there and they're swerving around it. In addition to the speed bumps, there is another obstruction to the street that I'm very excited to mention. Do you know what it is?
I really don't.
It's trees.
Trees!
Our favorite.
I should have known.
It is not uncommon that you'll be driving and then the street shrinks because there's a tree on the side, and instead of cutting it down, they just like made the road go around it. Or the tree is just straight up in the middle of the road.
A big, big fan of us having to work around trees.
But there are some roads here that are perfectly made, from what I can tell as someone who doesn't know street construction. It seems like the knowledge is there. It's just like a resource issue.
And I think another aspect of the roads where you see this varied quality is the sidewalks. This was something that was very strange to me when I visited, because there are sidewalks on a lot of the roads, but people don't use them a lot. People tend to be walking in the street because the sidewalks don't always connect. Sometimes they disappear. They're really varied quality. Sometimes there are just holes in them or they're falling apart. And the reason for that is
the sidewalks actually belong to the property. So it's not a public service like a road. It is a private service. Even in my neighborhood, the street on the corner, top of the line, landscaped sidewalks, beautiful, strong green grass with large chunky stones that create a natural walking path around the house. And then next to it, it's like a ditch. And then next to that, it's like a concrete but cracked. And then next to it, it's concrete but smooth. And it's just like, you just don't know what you're going to get. I have to say, I remember that so strongly from my first couple of days in Paraguay. Again, I'd come straight from Germany. And my experience there, like literally the last thing I did in Germany was like, I was trying to put some stuff in the trash, but I didn't know which type of separated trash it was supposed to go to. So I woke up at like 5 a.m. and snuck to where the trash goes and just kind of put it there and ran away, hoping that no one would yell at me. So the level of rigidity was burdensome for me. It was so strong. And I left that, and 2 days later, my partner and I are going to walk to the grocery store, and he starts walking in the street. And I'm like, what are you doing? Could you just come on the sidewalk? Like, why can't we just walk on the sidewalk? And he was like, oh, Yeah, sure. I can come walk on the sidewalk. And I was just so confused by this, because the last time I'd seen him, he was in Germany mode. So also wouldn't have been walking in the street. I remember that culture shock also because I'm not personally someone who really cares at all if you walk on the street or the sidewalk. I personally couldn't care less. But I realized in that moment the German programming had gone so deep in my head that I was in shock.
Couldn't imagine walking in the street.
And there are a lot of different things that you might find on the street. So people walking, cars, luxury cars that I don't know why they're here, because they also have to drive on those streets. And I just feel like it would completely damage it. But okay, they exist. And then you see cars that I'm like, that's from the 80s. I don't know how it's still running, but like, power to you. There's also a lot of, I just wrote down in our outline, miscellaneous vehicles. Do you know what I mean when I say that, Zoe?
I'm trying to imagine what that means. Carts? People with carts?
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole genre of vehicle here that's like somewhere between a car and a cart. I mean, it's motorized and there's a seat. But there is just like a giant truck bed, but I wouldn't call it a truck. This seems kind of like someone's cousins took an old car and then someone else put recycled materials to create it into some kind of functional vehicle. So people use that for like collecting trash, like not the formal trash collection, because that's different, but people will collect different things that could be recycled for money. And so people doing those tasks tend to drive around in this kind of car. Or I think some of the people that drive around selling like chipa and other stuff that just like we were saying in the other episode 2, we were saying a lot of people just like drive down the street calling out what they're selling. And that type of thing will also take place out of this type of miscellaneous vehicle. So you see a lot of that.
A lot of different vehicles all trying to drive on the same road at the same time, swerving around potholes. So once you leave those neighborhoods, it's kind of pure chaos.
So many like motorcycles and mopeds too. I think that's the thing a lot of people associate with South America, and that's definitely true here. And you will see a whole family on a single motorcycle. Mom, dad, and then their 3 kids. Like one kid will be in front of dad, one between mom and dad, and then like the oldest one holding on to mom from behind, and like just sort of all lined up on either a moped or a motorcycle.
Bicycles also do exist. You don't tend to see a lot of bicycles on the roads, but bike lanes do exist throughout the city, just not everywhere.
I have to say my new neighborhood has a high density of them. So they have one just like a normal neighborhood bike lane, and then they even have on one of these, the street goes a couple kilometers across town. It has the 2 lanes of car traffic, and then in the middle is like kind of a park with a bike lane that people also use for like walking and running. It's really nice. You absolutely can get around in Paraguay with a bike. It's doable. You just have to be either committed to finding the bike lanes or be a little adventurous and okay with driving alongside the cars. Which I would say in a lot of streets, it's not as scary as it sounds, but I would in no way go on major streets in Asuncion on a bike.
And I do think that people are looking out for people coming to the sides because they're so used to mopeds and motorcycles.
That's really true. So they're looking. They're not necessarily looking for a biker, but they're looking. Let's talk about the traffic rules and norms. Not only are there usually speed bumps without signs, there are a lot of things without signs. And I don't know if they just like fall off and never get replaced or if they get stolen. I know sometimes the raw materials are valuable. And whatever it may be, there's a lack of street signs at a lot of key places, such as no parking signs, stop signs. But even when there is a stop sign, is there? Who cares? You just kind of go and hope for the best. So one of the first things that we were trying to understand when we got here and we got a car, we were trying to figure out how to drive. We're like, okay, so like if you come to an intersection, no one has stop signs, what then?
Well, I would assume that the person on the right gets the preference because that's how it is in the US.
Really? Okay, that is also how it is in Germany, but I never knew of that from the US because in the US, you have stop signs almost everywhere.
The idea would be if 2 cars show up at a stop sign at the same time, then it's supposed to be the one on the right gets preference. Nobody knows this rule. I don't know why I remember it from getting my driver's permit. I think generally it's kind of like one person will just wave the other person and then that person will go. Yeah, it's supposed to be the one on the right. So that's what I would defer to if I was somewhere new.
In Germany, it is a very strong rule and they tend to not have any signs at intersections because it's just an assumed rechts vor links, like right before left. The rule in Paraguay, whoever's got the bigger car goes. I mean, and I think he was joking, the person who said this. So, I mean, I took it as a joke. And then the more I drove around, I was like, no, I think actually he's really right. Like, whoever bails out first waits. And whoever just goes for it goes.
So you're saying that every intersection is just kind of a game of chicken.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying a lot of these rules and stuff kind of jokingly. But to me, I think it's an important distinction, rules and norms. I think that especially to cultures that are more used to having rules for everything, not having rules sounds like chaos and nothing functioning. But there are norms. So when there's not official rules, there are norms that everyone is agreed upon non-verbally. It's just a cultural thing and things function. So it isn't as straightforward as in other countries who's supposed to go, but it works somehow and people get places. So I just wanted to put that out there because I don't want it to seem like I'm making fun of the way things are here or even painting it to be complete chaos.
What's your impression as far as road safety when it comes to like accidents? Did they happen a lot?
I don't think I've noticed a huge difference in accidents. For the most part, things are operating at a similar rate as things function in when I was living in Chicago or in Philly, right, or whatever. Like it's not that different. But again, that's my feeling. That's not a statistic.
My impression tends to be when I'm traveling in a country that has driving that I consider risky or dangerous, or like I get nervous looking at it, those drivers are better drivers. They live in a country and learn to drive in a country where there is more going on. So they have to be more aware than you would have like an American driver be.
South American drivers seem to really know to the millimeter the dimensions of their cars, because some of the stuff they do, I'm amazed that there's not metal on metal contact, but there's not. Like it's knowledge. It's not just like people driving crazy. It's like they know exactly what they're doing.
Right.
And I think it's really impressive. And I also want to say, yeah, you have the South American flair to the driving here and to the traffic. Everywhere else I've been has been way more intense. La Paz, yes, was crazy when we were there. Quito was also pretty crazy. Bogota was like next level. Santiago was insane. Like everywhere I've been has been more intense. So think of that same flavor, but like tone it down a lot of notches. And then you have Asuncion. Another thing that really throws me off with driving here is turning left.
I'm still so confused. So maybe this will help clarify it for me.
It won't, because I don't understand it still. You cannot turn left in Paraguay, except for when you can. What I've determined is inside neighborhoods, you definitely can turn left. On major roads, I don't know. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can make a U-turn, sometimes you can't make a U-turn. Sometimes all of that is signaled with signs, sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's traffic lights that make it clear because there's a left arrow. Oftentimes there's not traffic lights. I have seen signs that say, let's say you're on road A, which intersects with road B, and you want to turn left onto road B. You'll see a sign being like, are you trying to turn left onto road B? Go up one block, turn right, at the first block, turn right, at the first block, turn right, and that's how you can turn onto street B. So literally, like, what is that joke? Like, two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts do?
Yeah.
But sometimes you also can't turn right.
So this really reminds me of my sister, because when she learned how to drive, she was very anxious about it, and she refused to make left turns because they were scary. So she would ask for like, how do you get to this place? And we'd have to give her directions that did not include any left-hand turns. So she would only make right turns to get places. And then she would get really lost.
Well, yeah, if you miss your right turn, or if you're not allowed to turn right onto the first road, because like logically, if you want to turn left, you go to the next block and you turn right three times, right? It's like pretty straightforward. Yeah. Except, again, sometimes you have one-way streets, sometimes you're not allowed to turn right for whatever reason. So it doesn't always work. And then what? And by the way, Google Maps, like everyone's like, Google knows everything. It does not in Paraguay. Google Maps knows the roads pretty well, but it does not know the rules. It doesn't know that you can't turn left at certain places. So it'll tell you turn left. You have to really just learn your way around. I've never gotten pulled over for it, but you absolutely can get pulled over for it. Another random weird rule that you can get pulled over for is you have to have your lights on at all times. And I have gotten pulled over for that.
Speaking of getting pulled over, let's talk about the police.
Oh my. Yeah, let's. So it starts like this. You're visiting me for the first time. And I'm telling you about my first couple months in Paraguay. And I'm like, one thing I think is so funny is like, my partner keeps being like, we're going to have to bribe the police a lot. Like, I just have a feeling like there's a lot of corruption. I keep hearing that people have to bribe the police.
He just seemed really, really hype. He seemed kind of excited about it, a little worried, but like he wanted it to happen.
If you were here, you'd be like, no, I did not.
But I think secretly.
Yeah, it was a fixation for sure. And I remember when you were here, we were all joking about it and talking about it over dinner. And I was like, I just don't even know how you would know, like, when is the moment to bribe someone? Like, I don't think I would know how to distinguish between that and being told I have to pay a fee and just paying the fee. I'm like, I don't know. You and I, one day, we decide to go on a little, like, day trip, road trip to a nearby lake. We're driving along. We go to the lake. We have a nice meal. We get back in the car. We're going to detour to go by this town that has, like, a bunch of pottery on the way home. We're heading home. We get pulled over. This was right after we'd gotten our car. Side note, buying a car can be very complicated legally. I guess that they're concerned about a lot of car theft. So there are a lot of papers that you need to have on you at all times. I still to this day don't know what all of the paperwork is, but I know it took me 5 to 6 months to officially finally buy this car from the previous owner. And we even went through lawyers and had a lot of help with this. So it's very complicated. It took forever. The lawyers had told us, you have everything that you need to legally be driving the car, but you don't have everything in your name. You and I are driving, we get pulled over, they start asking for stuff. I'm like A1 level Spanish at the time. You are as well. You have no idea what they want. So I just start handing over literally like the whole folder of everything that we have.
And they just keep telling us no. Like they wanted something else, but we couldn't understand what it was.
I think it was at that point that I just called my partner because he speaks much better Spanish and I put him on the phone with them. She is talking to him, the police officer. Then she hands the phone back to me and he's talking to me. And I give the phone back to her. She gives the phone back to me. And then I will never forget, he tells me, do you remember the other night at dinner with Zoe and we were talking about bribing and you were like, how would you even know what the moment is? I was like, yeah, yeah. He's like, this is the moment.
Right now. It's time.
I was like, oh, great. Okay. Luckily, I had cash on me.
She saw you start looking at the money and then she started being like, yes, I think we can figure something out. And she was like, get out of the car. She took you behind her police car so that you were out of view, which made me a little nervous. I felt a lot better about the fact that this was a woman.
I pull out 300,000 guaranis, which is like 30 to 40 bucks, something in that range. And in that moment, I learned the most important word you can know in Spanish, which is solución, solution.
Didn't you, she asked to see your passport and you gave her the money in your passport and then she handed you the passport without the money?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
And then she just took the money out and handed back your passport and she was like, solución. And you were like, solución, sí, solución.
Exactly.
Got back in the car and then we drove a little ways away and parked and took a deep breath.
Many, many deep breaths. Yeah.
And honestly, it was a very exciting situation for me on my like third day in Paraguay.
Now I'm more chill about it because it's happened twice more. And the one time they didn't even accept our initial offer. Like it was with my partner and the officer made him come back to the car and ask me for more money because he was like, my partner was like, I don't, this is all I have. And they were like, go ask your wife. I'm sure she has more. So
he was right. It is something that you guys have had to do.
Yeah. And it's very common in Paraguay. So honestly, if you were driving in Paraguay, keep a couple hundred thousand guaranis on you at all times, like just in case. Where the bribe happened with you and me, we were on a little road trip and we were on a toll road. I think that was like a huge surprise for me, having driven only in Asuncion, going on my first road trip and realizing they do actually have toll roads in Paraguay. And you definitely notice a change in the quality of the road.
Yeah, the roads are really nice.
I do want to talk about road trips, but another little teaser that's going to be saved for the episode about traveling in Paraguay. So a couple last notes on cars. When you are driving around, especially in a city, any time that your car might be stopping for any period of time, almost a guarantee that there will be someone there on the side of the road selling something. So as I mentioned earlier, you have people with these little crates selling fruit. They'll sell chipa. I've even seen goods, like items. A really common one, and this is across South America, but is the window washers. So people will just start putting washer fluid on your windshield, and you really have to tell them no, no, no. Otherwise, they'll wash your windshield and ask for a payment. So that kind of thing is really common. A final note about cars is that probably the most common way to get around for foreigners is Bolt and Uber. And it's very cheap here. Like yesterday, I went to Spanish class, which is like maybe 7-8 minute drive away, and then it started pouring rain and I had to take an Uber back, and it costs like $1 including my tip. Like, so it's super cheap and they're very safe. The cars are questionable, and sometimes the cars just like straight up don't have seat belts. Maybe recalibrate your expectations for the quality of the car. In terms of safety, it's very safe. One thing I've heard in some other capitals is it's a huge warning sign if the car that comes to pick you up is not the same license plate as what you ordered. In Paraguay, it's pretty common that a different car will come, and it's never something weird. Definitely use your normal safety precautions, you know, like share the ride with a friend or make sure they know your name and you know their name. But it's not a sign that you need to cancel the ride and get a different car if someone shows up with like a different license plate.
Yeah, when I was visiting, I did use Bolt. I always would splurge for one with air conditioning, which doesn't always guarantee you have air conditioning. And then also they have a feature where you can get a female driver. I paid the extra 50 cents or something to have a female driver come just because I was by myself. It was the first time I was in the country. I didn't really know where I was or where I was going, and it made me feel a lot safer. And so I think it's pretty cool that they have that feature.
They do have official public transit here, just not much of it. So they do have city buses. I have to say I've never used it, but it does exist, and you could look into it if you're coming here. They used to have streetcars here, which I wish they still did. So they actually were in use from 1871 to 1995. Unfortunately, they are no longer running, and apparently at the end there was just one line that was running anyway. But when you're downtown, you sometimes see the rails in the ground. If you're going outside of Asunción, then you would use a different kind of bus. It would be like a long haul bus. So when we took a bus, I would say compared to buses that I've taken in other places in South America, it was not as nice. Would you agree?
I would agree. It felt like a bus that in another country I'd use for a pretty short journey, maybe just to the next town over, rather than what we were doing, which was quite a lengthy bus ride.
But I've heard from other people going to other cities like Ciudad del Este that they did have one of these more like luxury buses.
We might have just gotten the really cheap bus.
Exactly. And we were going a route that's not as popular. So I think with those, it's a toss up. And the other thing is a lot of places have websites or apps that you can use to book buses. And that doesn't really exist here. Whenever I've tried to find information online about any bus routes, it's been very tricky. It's better to just go to the station, walk around to the different stalls, and just buy your ticket there.
I almost always want to book a ticket in South America or anywhere I'm traveling in the station. I want to talk to somebody. I want to have a paper ticket in hand before the bus.
Okay, the last type of transit that I'm so excited to talk about is flying. I've mentioned my love for the airport in Asunción. I'll ask your impressions first. Like, what are your feelings about the airport?
I felt very neutral about the airport, to be honest. I feel a little scared saying that because I know how much you love it. It was a very easy experience. There were very few places to sit at the gates. The places there were to sit were like very uncomfortable metal chairs. In general, it was not a negative experience.
Okay, let me describe this airport first. So, I mean, like you said, it's not the nicest. It's not the most comfortable. I love the Bogota airport as well. And that is like updated. Everything's super comfortable. It's got all these amazing features. It's not like that. It's absolutely not like that. So it's tiny. It is tiny, tiny, tiny. So it's called the Silvio Pettirossi International Airport. It has one terminal. It has 6 gates. 2 of them are usually closed, so functionally it's like 4. The Wi-Fi, technically it exists. I would not rely on it. There's barely any food options. There's like 1 cafe that's reliably open, and the other ones, yeah, I don't know.
That was the only thing that was open while I was there.
Yeah.
I did get a muffin. It was not very good.
Yeah, you can get a box of alfajores, which is great. They have a really, really amazing souvenir shop that is also only sometimes open, but if it's open, it's great. And it's kind of hard to find souvenirs in Asuncion proper. So honestly, if you're flying out of Asuncion, get your souvenirs there, but it's kind of a gamble because it's often closed. The flights tend to be at weird hours. That's the other thing. Like, I have taken a couple normal flights that happen during the day, but typically the flights are at 5 or 6 a.m. or 11 p.m., midnight. Like, I've had flights that get in at like 3 in the morning. Like, it's a lot of night activity. So probably it sounds like, why do I like this airport so much? I feel like I just said a bunch of things that are not that great. But here's the thing. I don't live anywhere near the airport. Like, I live 8.5 kilometers. Right now it says it's a 21-minute drive. I have timed it where I sit down, I order my Bolt. From the moment I order my Bolt until I'm sitting at the gate pulling out my phone like, well, I guess I have time to kill, 21 minutes. I waited for my Bolt to get there. We drove across town. I don't think I had a checked bag that time, so there's that. But I went through security, I went through immigration, and I got to my gate within 21 minutes. Which is insane. And that's not a one-off thing. Like, that's just the one time that I really clocked it. But that's all the time. Like, if I have a flight at 8 o'clock, we always have to like remind ourselves that like, no, we have to take this seriously and like leave early. Naturally, we would leave at 7. It's so nice that it's that easy.
Arriving in Asuncion and going through customs, super quick, super easy. I think the longest that ever took me was 10 minutes of waiting in customs.
Yeah, and just because it's small. Like, it's not, like, incredibly efficient. It's just small, and it makes it so much easier. To share more of the facts of it, so there's only 1 flight to Europe, and it goes to Madrid. And there is no direct flight to the U.S. They used to have one to Miami. Doesn't exist anymore. I think there's talks of it coming back, but there's not. But do you want to read out the list of places that you can fly to?
So if you go to this airport, you can go to Panama City, Buenos Aires, Santiago, Montevideo, Bogota, Sao Paulo, Lima, and Santa Cruz.
I think they did just add one to Cordoba. But I mean, you get the sense, right? Like, it's basically all of the capitals or major cities in South America. I did want to put in a couple tips for people like arriving in Paraguay. To be honest, the downsides of the airport are kind of significant if you're showing up as a traveler. If you can sort a phone plan ahead of time that covers Paraguay, that would be helpful because then you can just order a Bolt to wherever you're staying and you can just get cash out there and then you can sort your phone out from there.
There are usually taxis at the airport. You don't have to rely on a Bolt.
Yeah, I think it would be a bit more complicated, to be honest. And then how are you paying them? Like, in Guarani, do you have Guarani? I mean, I'm sure you can take some out of an ATM or do an exchange there, but those are usually really expensive. And based on the unreliability of everything else and the weird hours that you might be arriving, I wouldn't be surprised if getting cash out wasn't that straightforward. A lot of times people land in a new country in South America and want to get a SIM card right away. I, again, would not depend on that functioning in the airport in Asuncion. It's better to do that at one of the malls. To me, again, your best bet is just figuring out some kind of basic phone connection or accepting the international fees for the 10 minutes it's going to take you to connect with a Bolt or an Uber. Then you can pay through the app and get to where you're going. And then it's going to be way easier to get help sorting out cash and phone from there. Again, I could see that being stressful. So I just wanted to mention, like, as much as I love the airport and I highly encourage it, people do have to adjust their expectations for Paraguay in general and this airport. But it is all saved by the fact that the guys that sell chipa at the airport, not in the terminal, but in the parking lot, their chipa is so freaking good. It's like my favorite. So highly recommend.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. And now we're finally done with all of the transit. It's time
Woohoo!
To wrap it up with our capybara joke of the day. We spent hours on a canoe in a runoff river of the Amazon in northern Bolivia, making every possible pun that you can make with the word capybara. And now we're going to share some of those jokes with you. And I go first because mine are usually the worst.
Yeah.
What do you call a capybara who just kind of sucks?
Oh, what do you call them?
A crappybara.
That was a pretty good one. Okay. Pretty solid.
Alternate version of that one. I wasn't sure which was better, so I'll tell you my plan B. What do you call a really terrible dive bar if you're a capybara?
What?
A crappy barra. It's the same punchline.
Yeah.
But then it's like a double pun because it's a crappy bar.
I do like it. I think I would have liked it more if you hadn't told the first version.
What's yours?
Mine's also a classic. What do you call a capybara who loves this episode?
Oh my gosh, what do you call them?
A capicara. Because we talked about cars a lot. I could have come up with a better setup, but...
It makes no sense. Why would a car like this episode?
Because we talk so much about them.
No, you should have been like, where's the best place to listen to this episode?
Oh, where?
A capicara. See, that's better.
That is better. Or like, how does a capybara travel around Paraguay?
How?
In a capicara.
That's good. That's good.
I only came up with the punchline and then I had to.
This is me too. I come up with the pun and then in the moment I'm like, oh shoot, wait, how do I set it up?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're getting there with our jokes. Join us in 1 week because we're going to talk about... So excited for this topic. We're going to talk about food.
I think this is one that people are going to be really excited to hear.
Oh, heck yeah. So till then, have a good week. Hasta luego.
See ya.